when Submarine finished, I was very sad. It was almost like a grief, like feeling bereft, because I was, really young. I just loved being there. It was such a great experience. And, again, like being a child actress, I didn't have a big friendship kind of group. And I think it was a really all-encompassing experience for me. And I was very attached to everyone. And in a way that you do when you're young, you kind of linchpin to people and you look up to people. And so I, because it was so intense, I knew I was going to miss it deeply. And I did for a long time.
Hey everyone, I'm Billy and welcome back to Half the Picture. I'm very pleased to say that our guest this episode is Yasmin Page, the actress who starred in Richard Ayoade's Submarine, which is celebrating its 15th anniversary this year. I was super excited to get Yasmin on the pod to talk about Submarine because it's one of my favourite coming-of-age films, maybe even one of my favourite British films of recent times. Richard Ayoade and Craig Roberts and her, you know, there's some kind of magic chemistry between them all in that film, as well as the Alex Turner soundtrack, which, you know, is obviously one of the key things about that film that people love. And also experience working with Sally Hawkins and Paddy Considine and the rest of the great cast, and her experience as a child actress, you know, growing up working on things like the Sarah Jane Adventures and what that was like, and also her experience working in the industry today, what it's been like post-COVID and, you know, what state the industry is in now and how it's affecting actors. So without further ado, let's roll on my conversation with Yasmin Page. Enjoy. Hey Yasmin, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, our pleasure. So we've got you on today to talk about Submarine, which 15 years ago came out, which is pretty mental, I'm
Yeah,
guessing.
I'm laughing because it is mental. It makes me feel very old.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy for us as fans, you know, having, I guess, grown up watching that film. It can only be a million times weirder for you, you know, having
Yeah,
done it.
I was very young when I did it. I think I was 16, 17. I think, because I remember, because Craig is like 2 years older than me, I think. So I remember he was like 18, 19. So I feel like, yeah, I was like 16, 17.
And now that it has been, we've had this period of time where the film has just kind of been absorbed by so many people. I think so many people have come to it and watched it and fallen in love with it. And it's, I feel like it's a film that has a place in a lot of people's hearts. And I guess for you, like, what is your relationship now to it, 15 years on?
I mean, I'm very proud of it. It's people do still say to me like, oh, that was a big part of my childhood. They always, if I'm ever approached by anyone, they always mention Submarine. It's like the one thing that they mention. And they always say it's a big part of their childhood or a big part of their experience. I think it meant a lot to a lot of people in that kind of, adolescence, that cusp of growing up, which is really lovely and really amazing to be a part of. And for me personally, I obviously have a very personal affection for to the film, to the people that we did it with, to the experience. I was a child actor, so I acted before that experience quite a bit, but it really stands out to me as like an amazing experience that I had. So.
So what was it like working with Craig, I guess, is the first question. Because, you know, Craig, you and him are on screen, you share the screens for so much of that film, and there's something kind of iconic about the two of you in that film.
I mean, I had an amazing time filming with Craig. I think we clicked straight away. I remember we did like a screen test together in Wales, but we didn't know if we had, we'd got the job. It was like a screen test that we did.
It was the scene under the train tracks, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I remember my mum was there. Yeah, my mum chaperoned me there, and and Craig and I were like, this is really cool, but what is the, we were just like, what's going on? But yeah, we just got on really, really well from the beginning. We had a great time, and I think the chemistry that you that is in the film is because we got on like friends. It was amazing, and we just had a wonderful time with Richard. We would do like we would film on a Saturday, just like us, Richard and DOP, and we would just go off on our own and do things on the weekend without like a massive, it wasn't, we didn't have a massive crew anyway. It was a very intimate experience, but we would just do that and go off and like do things and go to these gorgeous locations and like run around. And for me, it was just a wonderful experience. I felt very safe in like to kind of to make choices and to kind of explore. And I was young. Looking back on it now, I was young when I was filming, even though I'd been acting for a long time. And Richard just created a really wonderful environment for two young actors who felt very safe and comfortable with him. And he really guided us, but also just let us be free and trusted us. And kind of, we kind of grew up, I guess, in that way. I feel like it was probably my first sort of adult adolescence experience as an actor, because I've been a child actor for most of my life up until that point. And when you're a child actor, you don't always get a lot of trust. But he really gave us that. And I think that's also part of what makes the film really good as well.
Yeah.
Apart from Richard's vision and everyone, how wonderful everyone is. And, you know.
For sure. I mean, with Richard, I was hoping to ask about that actually specifically, because from what you describe, he sounded like he knew exactly what he wanted. He sounded very confident. But then it was his first film. I mean, I guess it was sort of, for all of you, it was kind of a sort of new beginning. I mean,
yeah, I forget that. I remember when I first met Richard.
And had you known about had you followed his career before then, like IT Crowd?
I knew him from the IT Crowd, but up until that point, no, until I met him at my recall. And I remember he asked me to improvise, and I was like, no, I'm not comfortable. I don't improvise. I'm not good at improvising. And he was like, well, you know, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. I'll just give you something. And if you want to say something, then great. And if you don't, then you don't have to say anything. And I was like, and he just literally talked for like 10 minutes, a monologue, and I didn't say one word. We really looked up to Richard. He knew what he wanted. He was really brilliant. So we just really admired him and trusted him. He's so lovely and garnered so much trust. And he just made it feel like we were doing it together. And I think that was what was really nice. There wasn't like that, you know,
it wasn't like a hierarchy.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that. Obviously, he was our director and we wanted to do well for him because I think everyone wanted to do well for him because he garners that kind of, respect, but also care, because he's very caring. He was very caring about everyone. So I think that is why. He was just brilliant. I mean, the script was brilliant. We were all excited. So I think we just were like, yeah, this is really cool. But I remember when you're filming something, you don't always imagine how it will be at the end.
It's just sort of in pieces.
Pieces. So I think when I was filming it, I kind of forgotten that it was going to be, you're so into the experience in the moment that you kind of forget that there's going to be an end result. And then and I remember watching it for the first time. We watched it at the Toronto International Film Festival.
The premiere, right?
Yeah. And we carried it on the plane, like the real film on the plane. So I had it with us. And I remember watching it for the first time and I was shocked. I mean, I thought it was fantastic. Not that I ever doubted Richard or doubted Eric or any of the crew or anything that wouldn't be amazing, but I just forgot that it was going to come together as this beautiful thing, and I was really shocked. Happily shocked. I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool.
Yeah, I've seen footage of the premiere, and it's because it's you guys and Sally Hawkins and Ben Stiller pops up and he's producing the film. I mean, that's an interesting fact that, you know, Ben Stiller's name is on the movie in some way. I mean, was he, because he's actually in the movie, isn't he? He has a cameo. I mean, was he around?
Yeah. I don't remember meeting Ben in Wales, but maybe we did. But I feel like when we were at Toronto is when he was definitely there, but I'm sorry, I don't remember if I met him in Wales when we were filming it.
It's days gone by.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's most surprising to me that you hadn't seen the film before you were sitting with a few thousand people in Toronto watching it. I mean, how come they hadn't showed you like a rough cut or anything? Were you guys just busy off on other projects?
I'm not sure if we ever saw any rushes. I don't think... So... No, I don't remember seeing many rushes, or if we did, it was something that was very small. Because I think the montage where we're on the bicycle and it's I can't remember which song.
Hiding Tonight, isn't it?
Maybe it's Hiding Tonight.
And the fireworks are kind of attached to the bike.
I think it's dangerous. I think I remember, or we filmed a video to that. And I remember seeing that. We filmed it on Super 8 camera. Richard filmed it on Super 8 camera.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that beforehand, but I don't remember seeing that many rushes. Yeah. But the cool thing, one of my really strong memories is when we would finish like a reel of film, because I'd never filmed anything on film at that time, and they would take it and they would put it in like the dark tent, and I would watch them, and they'd like have their hands in the thing, and they'd be like, "Oh, that's, you know, really cool." And I remember that really strongly because I'd never filmed anything on film before; it was all digital. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you mentioned those sequences, when you and Craig are going off and you're doing all those little bits, like, you know, running on the beach and like riding the bike, and is it literally just you guys
and Richard
with a Super 8 camera, and you're just going off and doing it completely, like no other crew, just running off into the hills and doing it?
It was just us, and there was a couple of I think it was called like Sunday Club or Saturday Club, so Richard would like pick us up with Eric, and we'd just be in like a car. It'd be me, Craig, Eric and Richard. And then we would have like the red jacket, you know, our costume, just put it on.
Yeah, the big
didn't
duffel
have
coat.
Like makeup on or anything like that. Just put the coat and the, you know, the outfit on, and then the costume. And then we would just go to these locations and like run around and just play. And that was all like all of us in the film. I remember one time we were running on the beach. It was just Richard and I, because a lot of that stuff where it's like, I guess, Oliver's POV of me or of Jordana, that was just Richard and I. So we would go off and just do stuff. So I'm looking as if I'm looking at Oliver, but I was just looking through at Richard. we would go off. And I remember one time I was running on the beach, like just having time of my life, and I fell. And I basically twisted my knee, and Richard had to fireman carry me like up these rocks because I couldn't get back up. I remember that. I think sometimes we probably got in a bit of trouble, but I think the first AD was like, "Wow, they're just running off round," you know, because obviously probably weren't supposed to be running off doing, you know, didn't have everyone there, but we had a great time.
Yeah, and I think that's in the film, that sense of sort of adolescence, sort of mischief and kind of like roaming and kind of, you know, freedom. It's in the movie,
yeah,
which I think people really respond to.
And that was all just me and Craig roaming around doing that. It wasn't really, we would just, he'd just let us loose, especially me, and I would just run off and just... I've always been a bit I don't want to say tomboyish, but I love nature, I love running, I love doing it. And growing up in London, I didn't always have that opportunity. And I think growing up as a child actor had a very, in somewhat quite serious, I would say, like, you know, serious upbringing, or, you know. And so I think that experience really, I just let loose. It was like one of the first times in my life where I was like, I get to run around and just, I got that experience and I just used it. So that's all real, messing around.
Yeah, it feels real. And you say that all, so a lot of that stuff, because a lot of it ended up in the music video for Pile Driver Waltz, all that. Super. And you guys knew when you were shooting it, like, this will go into, because Alex Turner obviously did the soundtrack, and I think that's another big sort of reason why people love the film is the those
music
songs.
The songs that Alex wrote are phenomenal, and I listened to the soundtrack as well. I love the soundtrack. I know that Alex wrote those songs, so Richard would show Alex rushes, and it's not like he pre-wrote the songs beforehand. He would look at the rushes and look at them, and then he would write the song. So I remember him telling us that, well, Richard telling us that's how it was done. So
when you guys were sort of watching rushes back, like, I guess after a day's work, would Alex be there sort of with making notes?
He wouldn't be with us, but Richard and him would do that separately. So he would show Alex the rushes, and then he came up with the songs from the rushes. Okay. So, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So did you and Craig get to meet Alex?
We did, but we met him at one of the showings, I think, one of the premieres. Yeah.
Yeah, but all that stuff, all the stuff for you guys running around, you knew that was going to end up you were going to put together a film and put that to one of the songs.
No, that was all Richard. I think Richard collated a lot of that and then decided where it would go. But we did have a lot of Super 8 footage of us just being kids running around.
Setting fire to Craig's leg hairs.
Yeah, and just like, and Richard would of course also say like, what about this, what about that sometimes, but then he would just also just let us do whatever. He was never very like super prescriptive. There were certain things which were prescriptive and was Richard's vision that he, like, I remember for the railway bridge scene, he would show us, and he did this a few, few times is he would show us clips from other films or things that he would show us clips of something which was an inspiration for. And he would just say just this kind of tone. So it was a lot of tonal things because obviously the tone of the film is very specific.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the preparation for that was tonal inspiration, I would say, more than anything.
Like a mood board.
Yeah, like a mood board, yeah. Mm. But he would it would be a clip. Sometimes before we would film stuff, we would get a visual or a clip, and that's the kind of tone we were going for, or that, you know. Mm. And that was really helpful. I'd never worked like that before, and I found that really, really helpful. I'm more of a visual learner as well, so I think showing me something and me being able to understand the tone is then I could take that. I remember with the letter reading as well, when Jordana reads the letter, that was another tonal thing as well. So,
yeah. And are those clips like, so for like camera reference, like this is what we're going to do with the camera, or is it more like emotional, like, you know, this is how it's going to feel?
Both, I think. Mm. I think they were like sources of inspiration for visual, but also emotional. So both, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the character you play, Jordana, who, as I say, like you and Craig together on screen in character, there's something so striking about the image of you two, like, you know, you have the red duffel coat, Craig with the coat he's got, which is kind of with that collar. It's almost like sort of Jean-Pierre Melville, this kind of thing going, it's sort of this collar. And when you guys are on screen together, it's kind of magic. I mean, you mentioned the red duffel coat earlier. Did you guys have much input on like what your characters would be wearing, or was that all left to, you know, the costume designer?
I think, you know, Richard's vision was very strong. I don't think I'd be wrong in saying that. And the costume designer, they obviously worked together. Like, for example, I mean, you can't tell now, but my hair is very different to Jordana's hair, and Richard had that vision of the bob. So I remember he came with me and we went to the hairdressers, and because my hair's naturally quite curly, I've obviously straightened it now, but my hair's actually quite curly and I have really long dark brown curly hair. We just chopped it off and chemically straightened it, so I had like a relaxer, you know, and that was all Richard. Just went, he came with me to the hairdresser and just cut my hair off.
And this is what it's going to be. Boom.
Yeah. So he had his vision was so unique and very strong. And yeah, he was, you're right. When you said at the beginning, he knew exactly what he wanted. And with the costume, I believe with the coats, that was Richard's vision, and the colour contrast and all that stuff, and all the colours. And he had a very strong, I think, vision for the tones and the colours, and him and Eric also, I believe, would have worked on that. But I do remember that Richard would, and this is like the amazing thing about filming it, was like when we were filming in the school, for example, Richard would take us to the locations beforehand and he'd be like, where do you want to sit? Or he would let us lead a lot of things that felt natural rather than prescribing us, right, this is where you go, this is where you stand, which as a child actor is often what happens. You know, you show up on set and it's like, this is where you stand, and then at this line you do, you know, I don't know if it's changed now, but a lot of the stuff I did was quite prescribed, and there is a creative outlet, of course, but like I said, there's much less sort of like freedom for children, I think, when I was a child actor, sort of like doing that. It's much more prescribed, and obviously there's much more time constraints as well, so I understand that. But with the film, we did a lot of rehearsal. We rehearsed like I think pretty much everything, and we're very fortunate to have that time. And in that time, Richard allowed us to explore the sets, and we got to choose a lot of things, like where we would go, what we would do. So for the date where Oliver comes over to Jordana's house,
Is that the Christmas date, or is that the one where you go to his house? Because there's a couple, isn't there? There's like where.
No, I go to his house. Apologies. Yeah. I go to his house and I walk up the thing, and then I get to the door and I'm like, thanks for living up a fucking hill. And I remember, I remember when we were rehearsing the scene, I was like, bloody hell, up this fucking hill. And Rich was like, yeah, say that. So there's like certain things that would, there was a lot of improv as well, and a lot of things that did end up in the films, like, you know. I don't think I said, oh, he lives up a fucking hill. But I was like, well, he lives up a, what the hell is this hill? And Richard was like, yeah, say that. Say up a fucking hill. Sorry, am I allowed to swear?
No, go for it.
But yeah, so like that came from that moment. So when he opens the door, I'm like, thanks for living up a fucking hill. So that came from that moment. And that lion that she wears. Yeah. So, you know, when she's at the table and I've got like the, not lion, the tiger. I remember Richard took me into like a clothing, like the place where all the costume was. And he was like, pick what she would wear on this date. And I would like look for all the things. And then I saw the tiger and I was like, this one. Well, so there was a lot of collaboration like that.
Yeah, that's amazing, because it's interesting hearing that was improv, because it feels completely in character. It feels completely natural with the rest of the movie and the rest of your performance. And I wanted to ask about that, actually, because I know, because obviously, as you say, you're from London originally, but you're playing this sort of this Welsh Swansea girl. And like, you know, you're doing an incredible, well, as someone who's half Welsh, doing an incredible Welsh accent, by the way, I must say.
Thank you.
And I think I've heard Richard say that, like, didn't you just sort of stay in that accent, like method, Daniel Day-Lewis style, you just stayed in that accent for the whole shoot. That was it.
I did. So I learned the accent from watching Gavin and Stacey. I watched Gavin and Stacey over and over and over and over and over again and practiced the accent a lot. I guess I was a bit worried about, you know, doing, I wanted to do it well, but I did practice it a lot. I watched Gavin. I mean, that was me and my mum. My mum and I would just watch Gavin and Stacey and I would just talk to her in the accent, and my mum just thought it was hilarious. So I would even watch it after work, like after filming, just to keep reminding myself and keep practicing it. But I did actually stay in the accent the whole time, because it was just easier for me then dipping in and out. And I found that the more I stayed in it, the easier it became, and I was able to ad-lib a lot more. I think I would have found it harder to ad-lib or to, if I didn't stay in the accent. So I think, and also Richard, you know, when we spoke about it, you know, it was like, he was like, it would be fine if, you know, I'm like, would other, I don't know if other people would find it weird. And he's like, it would be fine if you, you know, I think he encouraged me to do what would make me feel comfortable and what would make it feel okay for me. And I think just staying in the accent probably is, I'm laughing now at it, but it just, it made, the more I stayed in it, the more I didn't have to think about it at all. Because it just, after 4 weeks, I didn't think about it anymore. So it just became a like muscle memory. And then I was able to ad lib, and then I was able to improv more in the accent.
And is that something that you sort of took with you after Submarine? Because looking at some of your other work, like Glue, where you're playing this police officer who's sort of part Romani, and you're sort of, you're speaking in Romani to some of the other characters, and like, was it that something that you took beyond that?
No, I don't think I've done that before. Like, I've not, and after that, I've not done that. I've not like stayed in that before. I think it was just very specific for this project, because it kind of helped that we were like away from home. We moved to Wales for that period of time. We were in kind of a very all-encompassing environment. So it was a lot easier to do it in that sense, I think.
That's the interesting thing about sort of Swansea is kind of a character in the film as much as you guys. You know, it's very much, you get a sort of sense of the landscape. And I was thinking, as I was watching it back, I was thinking about all these great sort of scenes that are in there. Like, because you mentioned the date scene, there's also sort of the Christmas dinner scene, which is hilarious, but also completely heartbreaking at the same time, where, you know, Craig goes around to Jordana's house, to your house, and then your mother might be dying of a brain tumor, and, you know, and then your dad has this kind of breakdown. It's all in one take. I mean, do you remember much about that scene?
We did a lot of, I remember that scene. I remember that bit at the door at the end. I think that was improvised, which was fantastic. That was actually a really funny scene to film, but also very difficult. I think
quite technical, I feel.
We did a lot of one takes, and we did a lot of rolling takes. So where we would like do the scene, Richard wouldn't say anything, and we just go back into it and go back into it and go back into it. Or we would then improvise. And we did that a lot. And that was really, that was something I'd never done before as an actor. And it was a great way to free you up, and also to let you settle. Because I think more things, how can I say, like, it became more intuitive because you'd settled, I think.
It just could flow more naturally. Yeah, you didn't so have to think about it.
Yeah, and I think it's probably quite expensive doing rolling takes on film, but we did that a lot. and a lot of things were one shots as well. But it never felt pressured, like, oh, you've just got, this is a one shot and you've just got one chance to do it. Because, yeah, it probably was quite expensive. I don't know whether Richard was, like, being tapped on the shoulder by the producers or not. But, yeah. But yeah, we did do a lot of that. And we filmed, we did quite a few takes of things.
Yeah, it's interesting because the film has so many different kind of tones to it. You've got, like, so it's Swansea, as we say, it's very Welsh.
Yes.
But also it's, you've got Alex Turner's sort of voice in there. And also because it's a Warp Films production, you know, they're based in Sheffield. I mean, where I'm from, incidentally. So... And so, and it's very, it's a period film. It's set in the 1980s, I want to say, but also it's very 2010.
Yeah, I feel like it was sort of, the aim was for it to be timeless in a way. But I think it does have, to me, it does have that soul that is very, it's not a southern soul. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And I think that's what, there's something like, as much as it's like, for me, dreamlike in a way, and sort of in terms of like the aesthetic and, but it's like, it's not, we wouldn't say it's like a gritty British film, right? But it is also very British, and I think like it has that kind of earthiness to it as much as it has that kind of ethereal quality, just because of like the tone. And I feel like a lot of American coming of age films have that kind of tone. I think I hadn't seen anything, well, in my time, you know, my age, before Submarine, that had that kind of quality, I guess, that is very British, but also there's something kind of, yeah, dreamlike, I guess.
Yeah. And I think the thing with British coming of age movies, what you're saying about them, is that I think there aren't too many that feel genuinely authentic to what it's like being a teenager in Britain.
Yeah.
But I think this is one of the few.
Yeah. And of course, this is a very specific, you know, very specific adolescence, and not every British adolescence is like that. And there is also something, not aspirational, but there's something, how can I say, there's a romanticized quality, which is what Oliver wants. I mean, Oliver wants this romanticized, this is his vision of his life, isn't it? It's basically when the film starts and he looks directly at the camera. I mean, this is basically in his, what he wants the world to see of his life. So there's that's what I mean when I say it's kind of dreamlike in a way, because it's a very romanticized version of ourselves, but also something very, there is also something very real.
Yeah. Well, Richard was saying, said something interesting about that, which is that, so for Craig, obviously, as Oliver, the movie is, as you say, it's from his POV exclusively. And so it has gotten this sort of strange ethereal quality where you're, so, and he's kind of viewing his whole life as a movie.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, like, so you and also the other actors like Sally and Paddy Considine and, you know, Noah, all kind of almost had a harder job because you have to sort of remain objective in that. You can't play to that. It's almost like you have to be your objectively Jordana.
Yeah.
Even though you're living in kind of Oliver's movie.
Yeah. You couldn't be aware of that. You had to just play. How do I say play? Yeah, you had to just be Jordana and what Jordana wants and what Jordana's trying to do in that moment. And of course, Oliver's, she has no idea of what Oliver's vision of her is. That's all completely him.
Yeah.
So I don't think I thought about that when we were filming it. Yeah, I think for Jordana, she's obviously going through like a really difficult time. You know, her mum is really sick and, you know, she's not, I guess, yeah. I mean, how much can we trust Oliver? But she's not, you know, she's a bit, you know, I don't think she gives much of a shit. but she's also obviously I got like a vulnerability and she's young, and I think she does care for Oliver and fall for Oliver, and I don't think he's very nice to her. And I think she's looking, I don't think she thought that she was probably looking for friendship, but she obviously was. I think it's quite difficult to make friends and make really strong connections, and especially when you're young, when everything is quite, it's either like really intense or like very transactional, because you're still all trying to figure out like where you all lay or where, you know, who you all are. So sometimes you think you connect with people, but then you realize you don't, and that's very disappointing and upsetting. It's a big part of growing up. So that's what I love so much about the film, is because actually they do have, you could have all at the end could have been like, was any of their connection real? But it was. I believe so.
Oh, me too. And I think like that's some of my favorite moments in the film. I mean, I guess you, if you think of the iconic moments from the film, you think of those scenes we've talked about, you think of the montages and sort of the flourishes and the train track scene, the first kiss with the Polaroid camera and all that. But then I think some of my favorite moments are the really quiet moments between you and Craig, like when you're walking across the like the football field after school and it's sort of it's dusk and like you're holding hands or you share a hug and there is a tenderness there,
yeah,
which is palpable, I think.
Yeah, which I think she probably would be the least want to kind of succumb to. She's a little bit sadistic, but I think but also just, you know, I think that's how she protects herself. Yeah, I think there are really lovely moments and I think they do fall in love in that sense. But I think what's nice about Oliver's trajectory is in all his grandiose ideas of himself, I think he does grow up a little bit in the film. He matures and actually hopefully becomes less selfish a little bit. I think he did become less selfish.
I think so. I mean, when you think of that ending then, so you guys sort of standing in the sea, which is such a sort of lovely, quiet ending. What's your takeaway for them going forward?
Yeah, I think I asked Richard, if I remember correctly, I think I did ask him, like, what do you think happens between them? And he's like, I think they stay together. I don't know if they would, you know, but I think they probably did reconnect. I think in that moment you see the real care and I think she just succumbs a little bit. But I remember filming that, and because of we wanted to film it like the magic hour light, and we were like up really early and it was freezing. Like it was so cold, and those Wellingtons, I had like a plastic bag because they had like little holes in them so that my socks wouldn't get wet. So we had like plastic bag in my boots. And yeah, I remember filming that. And I think I remember Richard wrote that on, I still have it. He wrote it on an A4 piece of paper because he'd rewrote the scene a few times, and then I remember the morning that we filmed it, he handed it to us on a piece of paper. It was like written on an A4 piece of paper, just in pen. He just wrote J-O line 9. Yeah, so, and I still have it. It's in my house somewhere. But yeah,
did you keep any sort of mementos from the film on the set?
So I kept that. What else do I have? I have some of like the call sheets.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to keep the duffel coat?
No, didn't get to keep the duffel coat. I don't think we kept any of the costume. Maybe Craig kept some of them. I don't know. That'd be interesting to know if he kept some stuff. I don't remember that. But yeah, and then also what was really nice is we got like a booklet with like all of the clippings of everything that was like said about the film. And I remember the PR company gave us that, and so I've got that, and I've got the original script. So yeah, a few things that obviously I kept.
Do you like to sort of keep things from sort of the shoots that you've done?
You know, I haven't kept, there's a few things like from Pram Face we got given, I've got a photograph of all of us that they took at one of the film's scenes that we filmed in a church, I think it was a wedding. I've got that, and so a few things from, but not every, I've been very fortunate to do lots of different stuff in my like lifetime and career as an actor. And I've enjoyed all of it, but some jobs are you're more emotionally attached to or more, have a more personal experience.
For sure, yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned Pram Face, because when I was watching back Pram Face, I was thinking about how, I guess you could say, is it fair to say, do you think that there are similar crossovers between like Beth and Jordana? There's a kind of sort of slightly cynical edge.
Yeah, probably.
There's a wit, there's quite a biting kind of wit. Do you think of, were you thinking about sort of channeling any of that or using some of those tools when you were sort of doing Pram Face?
Not consciously. Maybe I'm just really like cynical and sarcastic. Not consciously, but I had a great time filming Pram Face. I think did I turn 21? Or I turned 18. I had a big birthday. I don't remember when it was, but I had a big birthday. And I remember all the other cast were older than me, and I remember they took me out and they were like, we're going to give you an adult drink, and it was like a white Russian or something, you know. I think that they have like in the Big Lebowski or something. They were all laughing because I was like, yes. And I remember running round, so Dylan and his girlfriend Tash, I remember in their apartment in Edinburgh, running round in circles. I was obviously very drunk, like a cool, running around in their living room, like a nutter to like music. So yeah, but I had a great time filming Pram Face. That's again like another really great experience that I've had. But yeah, there are, I guess, those similarities. And Beth was really fun to play. Again, like very vulnerable, but also very cynical.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you feel that kind of, there is such great chemistry between you and like the other actors on that show, that ensemble. I mean, do you keep in touch with the sort of the guys from the old days?
So, to be honest, well, no, I'm not in touch with them now. I mean, obviously, for a little while after, sure. But obviously, everything, that's the thing about filming, I think. I think I saw an interview with Emma Watson recently where she spoke about, you know, being on sets and making friendships. And it can be quite a difficult place, I think, to make. You, of course, do make real friendships when you're there, but it's such an intense experience. It's almost like going away on a silent, like on a retreat for like, you know, 2 months, and you get really close to people. But then once you're out of that experience and you sort of go back to your normal responsibilities, life and everything like that, it's not always easy to keep those connections. And doesn't mean that what you experienced together wasn't real, wasn't true, or wasn't great. And I also think, found it that difficult as a child actor. I wasn't in school much, so I found that hard. I always wanted, you know, more friendships. Well, I was very fortunate that I have a really wonderful friend that I've had since I was 12, and she was always, I would go leave to film stuff and leave her, and she would always be faithful, be there for me when I returned. But yeah, and I'm still friends with her today, you know, like we're very, very close. She's a sister to me, really. But that was difficult as a child actor, going away and finding it very hard to make friends in school. And then I would make friends a lot of the time with the other actors who were older than me. And I would be very close with them. But of course, there was often quite a big age gap. So you're not, you know, it was hard to maintain those friendships. I think in some of my other older, when I've been in productions, as I've gotten older, it's been easier to maintain friendships as an adult and to meet up and have coffee and things like that. But when I was younger, it was harder to maintain those friendships outside of it, I think.
Yeah. Did it feel a bit like sort of, as a child actress, did it feel like sort of running away to join the circus every time you went and worked on one of these projects? Like, was it the kind of sort of chaotic? Because as you say, like being on a set, and as someone who's been on set, it is like a really sort of pumped up, quite sort of very specific environment. As you say, it's kind of in a bubble, and it's for those 30 days that you're shooting, or those 3 months or however long, and it's like, and you forge those really intense friendships.
I feel like it gives you attachment issues in a way, because you do I don't know, you do get very attached to the experience and to being there. Like when Submarine finished, I was very sad. It was almost like a grief, like feeling bereft, because I was, you know, really young. I just loved being there. It was such a great experience. And, you know, again, like being a child actress, I didn't have a big friendship kind of group. And I think it was a really all-encompassing experience for me. And I was very attached to everyone. And in a way that you do when you're young, you kind of linchpin to people and you look up to people. And so I, because it was so intense, I knew I was going to miss it deeply. And I did for a long time. Yeah. So it is a bit like, not, I wouldn't say, maybe running away to the circus, but it takes you out of real life. It's not real life at all. And that can be very alluring and, you know, it's a very unique experience. I think the older I've gotten, the more I've been able to maintain a sense of reality in a weird way when I've been filming or working on stuff. I think before that just became my whole reality. And it was very all-encompassing, very intense. And then that's why you leave it, you feel bereft. But the older I've gotten, matured, and I've been able to maintain a sense of like, okay, this is fantastic, I'm really enjoying it, but you know, and it's a great job and I'm having a great time with lovely people, but it's okay if it doesn't extend outwards, you know, I'll be fine.
I guess it's the balance of it being, it's obviously very personal, and obviously being an actor is very, I guess it has to be, because it's an emotional craft that you're doing. You're putting yourself on screen, but also it's being professional. It's like, okay, I'm here for how many days, and I'm working with these guys for, you know, this much time, and then like I do my job and then go home.
Yeah, and I think that's why when you're young as an actor, that my experience, that can be quite difficult to remember that it's a, of course, I think I was always professional, but again, like, you do have to be open and vulnerable, and it is an emotional experience. That's why I think it's harder when you're younger to remember that it is also a job in a way, as much as an experience, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're all heart, you're all, it means so much. And I think when obviously you're older and you've got a family and you've got, you know, there's other things around that, your world is so much bigger. Because when you're a child actor, I think that is your world at that time.
For sure. And it makes you think about, as you say, Emma Watson and those guys and people who are, you know, she was making those movies, those Harry Potter movies,
so young
for like so many years. And then imagine, you know, when that comes to an end, like where, you know, in a way it's, I guess it's almost like, where do you go? Like, the immediate aftermath of that is, where do I go from here?
Yeah, I think I imagine a lot of, I imagine they would have struggled with that, I imagine. And of course, more or less for different people, because everyone's different. Everyone has different backgrounds, upbringings and things like that. But it is definitely, I would say you would ask most actors what it's like after leaving a really intense and great job. They feel bereft.
For sure. Yeah. But I guess what's nice is that you and I, because you and Richard have kind of stuck together and worked together a couple more times after submarine. You did the double with him. I think Craig as well came
Craig,
on for the
double. Yeah, he's an inspector in the double,
yeah. And then you're in Souvenir as well, Souvenir Part 2.
Yeah, that was all Richard. Richard wanted me to be in that, which was so lovely. That's been fantastic.
Did he call you up and say, I want you in here with me?
I think he was asked, there was like a character where he was going to have like an assistant or something, and then he was like, oh, Ken Yasmin, you know, which is really great. I've always had a fantastic time with Richard. I always said to Richard, you know, if you ever have a part, if you want me to come and clean the bins, I'll come and clean the bins. You know, I've always loved working with Richard, and I'm delighted anytime he's asked me to come and do something. I don't care if it's standing in the background or not, you know. But I think it's a thing of like who you have really good chemistry with and who you get on with and who you feel comfortable with. And if you have the option to obviously be around Creighton, I think Richard creates his sets as a place where he's going to feel very comfortable and can trust and feels like safe. And he creates that for everyone else. So I think he would create, I could say for him, whenever he does any other projects, I'm sure he would curate an environment with people that he really enjoys and thinks are great and can trust. And I imagine that's the,
I mean, it's a shame that I guess that he's only then made two movies. I mean,
I'm sure there's more to come from Richard.
Do you know of any? Has he talked at all about
it? I don't, but I'm 100% sure and I can't wait to watch it. So.
Yeah, because I feel like, I think I saw a clip of him recently saying that he might be working with Wes Anderson on something, like writing something.
Oh, maybe. Don't know. That would be really cool.
Yeah, because I think Wes sort of is kind of in the back of Submarine a little bit in terms of like Rushmore, maybe. I think Craig was saying that at one point that Rushmore was one of the films, you were talking about visual references.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Rushmore was one of the films. And I honestly can't say I know much about that, but I'm sure Richard has met Wes Anderson, and I think pretty sure, but I don't quote me on that.
Well, he pops up, I think, in a couple of the Roald Dahl Netflix shorts that he did.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And I feel like there's so much simpatico between like Richard Ayoade and Wes Anderson in terms of their energies and their kind of vibes.
I can imagine they would work really well together, and
As a fan of Richard's and knowing his kind of sense of humour, I'm guessing like when you guys were working on The Souvenir and he's got you in, he's like, he must have been kind of enjoying that. Is he a laugh on set?
Yes. Yeah, he is. And yeah, he's very funny. It's always been a great experience being around him. It's always a delight. It's always really fun. And like I say, very comfortable.
Yeah. Were there any like hard days on Submarine other than walking up the big fucking hill? Like, were there any like particularly like challenging days because you were talking about how you have to be vulnerable as an actor and it is all about vulnerability and being open, I guess, to impulses. Like, were there sort of challenging days as much as there were like lovely fun days?
Yeah, there was. I was very young when I filmed it, and even though I'd had a lot of experience, I think I sometimes became aware that, a lot of responsibility in a way, and I really wanted to do a good job. So I know that there was times that I was struggled, I guess, with. I think I would get nervous sometimes, but Richard was always very, very supportive. And in terms of and some of the scenes, obviously, yeah, they were emotional, they were difficult, but I always felt very supported during those times. But yeah, it is also tougher if you think about, I remember, this is just popping into my head, but because we filmed, it was an intense experience and we filmed, 5-6 days a week. And, obviously the hours are long and we were young and, it was intense. And I remember Craig had to do this thing on that bicycle where he was had to cycle on a bicycle. And I think he vomited or whatever, because you get tired. Everyone gets tired. Mm. The crew as well. Everyone gets tired as well. As much as it's a great experience and everyone really wants to be there and everyone really wants to do a good job. Mm. It's tiring. It can be emotional. It can be, stressful. There's obviously time constraints and money is involved and all that stuff. So yeah, I think there was days, of course, whereas, but I think we were protected a lot from that, which again is Richard was a great director in the sense that he did protect us a lot from that pressure, which undoubtedly is there on every film set. Mm.
Yeah. And have you felt that on other things that you've done, say on because like you say, you've been working for so long and since you were a kid, as an actor and on Sarah Jane Adventures and obviously on Glue with Jack Fawn, who's such a brilliant writer. Yeah. I mean, do you feel that sort of same kind of care in other sort of work that you did?
So every job's different. And I think sometimes you can sometimes having that care and time is a luxury because some things you have to film very fast because of the financial and time constraints. So there is other jobs definitely where there's been a lot more pressure. Mm. You feel that pressure and every actor would have experienced that. It's now and you have to, we've got to be off this. We've got to be, so everyone, that is part of it as well.
Yeah.
But that's why I think Submarine is a unique experience. And I remember when we were filming The Double, I remember Jesse Eisenberg saying that filming it was an experience very different. He's done a lot of big franchise stuff.
Sure.
And it's very different because not every set is kind of has that kind of care and that kind of that emotional, there's an emotional kind of personal connection. Mm. It's still fantastic to do, but it's different. So yeah, I think Richard really creates that environment. Yeah, there would have been pressure, but I think he protects us from that. And other jobs growing up, I've definitely felt pressure. I think for me, the most pressure or stress I felt is on stage stuff. I've had such bad stage fright. Mm. I think this happens to every actor. I'm pretty sure it happens. My brother says it does. But I remember telling my brother about one night when I was about to go on stage and I didn't feel nervous at all, but I was standing in the wings and then the lights went down, which means they were going to come up immediately and we're going to walk on. Mm. I couldn't remember anything. I was and it's happened to me a lot when I've done stage stuff. But for some reason it comes out, but that panic, that sheer panic of what do I say? What's my first word? Nothing. All gone blank. So I think the audience love it when things get messed up, especially in live theatre. They love it. They just, because they know. And there's been a couple of times on stage where I've forgotten what I'm doing on other acts, and we look at each other and we just laugh and the audience love it. Yeah. So I think it becomes part of it. So you kind of succumb to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can honestly say, even though I've done stage stuff, I've done film and television, I still care. Nerves are all, I don't know if anyone doesn't get nervous. Mm. Maybe they do. Mm. Maybe they don't, sorry. Maybe there's some people that don't get nervous, but I've always gotten nervous.
Yeah. I feel like people who just never, ever get nervous are very particular. Would you actually want to... slight psychosis going on there. No. Would you actually want to be in the same room as that person,
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if it's on stage, you have the advantage of like people, if you're sort of glancing at your co-stars, like a little eye contact, like, hey, what's going on? People can't see it because it's all obviously they're way in the back. So they
yeah. And a lot of time your other actors save you. So like they'll say something that reminds you of your line or mm-hmm. like, yeah, you kind of have to help each other.
As in they'll like sort of improvise a little bit.
Yeah. Or like say if your question, I don't know, say you're meant to come on and say, where's my car keys? You've forgotten to say, where's my car keys? And they'll go, were you looking for your car? You know, were you looking for your car keys?
Oh, yeah, or, I was.
Yeah. And then you get my comment or something, I don't know, something like that.
I guess that's the advantage of film then against that, because you know, you've got that space, you've created that space, you spend hours setting up the cameras and getting hurry up and waiting. That's what I hear it's like.
Yeah, you still forget your lines.
Yeah.
But obviously you have someone there, script supervisor, and you know, and you practice, and of course you do get the opportunity to do it again. But sometimes if you're finding it difficult to remember this again, there's still that time pressure where it's like, just remember, come on now.
I was curious to ask, because we were talked a little bit about it before we rolled, but about just the state of the industry now as an actor, because what with COVID and the strikes and everything that's been going on the last few years, I mean, the sort of the actors that I've talked to, which is kind of sporadically chatted to about this, it sounds like it's quite brutal at the moment for on everyone. Everyone's kind of been hit pretty hard by all these things that have been going on. I mean, is that how you found it?
Yeah, I think definitely after COVID, it was difficult for a number of reasons. And yeah, of course, COVID was, you know, like I remember I was in a play just before COVID hit and we were closed down because of COVID. And I remember the producer coming on stage. We thought we were going to perform. Mm. And then she came on stage and said, we're not going to perform tonight. And we don't know when we will perform. Mm. And that was really lovely because we all, even throughout COVID, it was a massive cast of like 40 people, and we would Zoom, like, you know, everyone, director and everyone, we would Zoom, and that was really lovely. But yeah, I think COVID was, I think in some ways we're probably still recovering from COVID. I mean, affected a lot of people and for actors as well. I mean, your income just goes and it's very, very difficult. And I know there was some, you know, relief schemes and things like that. But I guess it's not like other jobs where you're on furlough, you know. And of course, some jobs were on furlough, and that's a very fortunate position. But even, of course, if you're working in any sort of job where you don't have that luxury, it's not just actors. So, yeah, I think the industry is probably still recovering from it. But it's still great to see great things coming out and, you know, I think it will always bounce back. But yeah, that was a difficult time and a very worrying time for sure.
Yeah, I found that. I mean, I was one of the lucky ones who was put on furlough for like 18 months.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a cinema, and it's sort of a sort of indie cinema called The Showroom up in Sheffield, which has got...
And they put you guys, well, that's really good of them.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy because, you know, Cineworld, I don't know if you remember, but at the time, it was kind of hit the headlines that Cineworld basically just axed all their employees more or less immediately, you know, and then...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then there was a huge amount of pushback in the press, and then 5 days later they were like, right, okay, you can all come back. They were immediately like, oh crap, you know, what do we do? We've just fired everyone, let's bring them back. What you just said there about how, like, you know, I feel like we're still recovering from it. I feel like we are in a lot of ways. I mean, even as people, I feel like we, as a culture, I don't think we've quite sort of reckoned with what happened. The entire world froze.
Such a weird time.
For 2 years.
In our lifetime. I don't know if that will ever happen again. Mm. Hopefully not, but could do. But yeah, very, very strange time. But I think actually a lot of creativity actually came out of that time, because I think a lot of people were at home. And then you kind of, yeah, of course, you know, we've got screens and everything like that, but I think a lot of people, if you look, even just a lot of people have grown from that time. I mean, especially like influencers, for example, because they were just at home, so influencing has just like skyrocketed, because in the last 5 years people have built their brands. I was thinking about that the other day, that I think COVID enabled a lot of people to build themselves, actually, because it was almost a time where the world was frozen in a way and you could focus just on yourself, and people took chances, I think, more, because what do you have to lose?
Totally.
A little bit.
Yeah, for me, that was where I discovered sort of more about filmmaking and about, because that was sort of what prompted me to move to London, because I say originally from the north, moved to London to study film and editing. And yeah, it was just like the entire world sort of froze, and everyone kind of got a chance to sort of look at themselves a bit, I guess, and go, what am I doing with my life? You know,
yes.
That's how I found it anyway.
How do you find living in London, like from being from the north?
It's very different. It's a very different kind of energy. I mean, when I first moved and I would go back to Sheffield, I would always just, people would ask that question. I would kind of joke that Sheffield is where the money isn't. London is where the money is. And things move so much faster in London. I mean, not just people and, you know, obviously the place is constantly bustling and never sleeps, but just like the amount of development and redevelopment that is just going on, of new things are constantly being created and then forgotten about. And it's very cosmopolitan. And Sheffield, I love Sheffield. It's a beautiful city, and but it moves at a slower pace. And I feel like most cities, if not all of them outside of London, move at a slower pace.
Yeah.
And so that was getting used to that. Was, I think that's the thing everyone has to get used to when they move to London, is the pace of it.
Yeah, I feel like London is, you're right when you were saying, you know, hearing you say that, it does make me feel, think about, there is that inequality, isn't there, where, you know, London has a lot of opportunity. Definitely think, even though, like, for example, you know, now we have, especially with the industry, you know, a lot of things being filmed in Manchester and a lot of, you know, the BBC and a lot of, we've kind of got a lot of initiatives that have spread across the UK, which is fantastic, because that need, you know, not everything can be London-centric, to create more opportunities for more creators, for more people throughout the country. Not everyone, you know, should have to move to London to have, you know, to find great work and to have, you know, great creative experiences. But yeah, London is, I've grown up here, and it's very different. I really like Birmingham. My friend lives in Birmingham. I visit her often. I really like it because I feel like it's a mix of like city, but also that kind of quietness as well. And people have time for you, because originally I was born in London, grown up here, but my mum is from Manchester, so my mum's northern. And yeah, I think just my mum grew up, you know, very community based, like the front door was left open, you know, people come in and be like, only me, you know, or whatever. And it's like, you know, I think when we moved to London, that was quite a very difficult transition for her, even though my mum can make friends, you know, she can make friends wherever she goes. She's very, she always built a community, but that it is very different. And I feel like, yeah, that's the only thing I find challenging about London. Like, I was walking through Liverpool Street Station and I was saying, it's like Mario Kart. You got to like, you also got to dodge it. No one's walking in a straight line. No one's acknowledging anyone. So no one looks at you to like, is he looking at me? Do I move? Do I not? You know, just bumping into everyone.
And everyone's looking at their phones.
Looking at their phones. Everyone's in their own world. So that's like something I like about going outside London, is it's people have a little bit more time for you.
People have more bandwidth, I feel, emotionally and just generally.
That's a good way of describing it, yeah. I feel like when I go to, even I went to Manchester, I was in a cafe and I was just on my computer and I was chatting to the, people are more chatty. And it was so funny because one of my other colleagues was like, also I think grew up in Sheffield, and was like, he's like, I don't want to be talked to. That's why I like London, don't talk to me. I'm fed up of people being like, hi, I love you, all right. I like that. Maybe one day I'll leave London, I don't know.
Well, I mean, my girlfriend just can't wait for us to move to leave London. I mean, every other day, I feel sometimes she's like, so, you know, when are we going up north? When are we going to do it? And it's like,
has London got your heart? Are you just?
But it is like you're saying, it is like, this is where kind of the action is. This is when it comes to like film and television. I mean, we do have outposts of it up in like BBC North and Warp Films. I mean, linking back to Submarine, like Warp Films is based in Sheffield. They produce Submarine. I mean, it's there are outlets out there, but London is still, can't get around the fact that it's still where most of it is. So linking it back to Submarine, like, because I know Mark Herbert, who is this amazing producer from Warp, who's since gone on to do like Adolescence and all that stuff, which is amazing. I mean, that description you just gave of like, I guess, that northern energy, that sort of increased bandwidth, was that on the set as well? You felt that on the set?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one way I would describe it, actually, if I can think of, it was very calm. It was a very calm environment. Not every set is like that. And I think probably when you're on bigger, like franchise stuff, it's probably not like that at all. But it felt very much like a collaborative thing, not just you and the other actors, but with the crew. And like I said, I would watch them the camera assistant, you know, like I'd be like, can I watch what you're doing? Like, tell me what you're doing. And like, they would tell me like how they're, what they're doing when they put their hands in thing and how they have to like, so yeah, like it was just, like I would ask Eric, like, you know, can I hold the camera? Can I do this? Can I do that? You know, there was time for us, which we didn't, you know, not sometimes it's a luxury to have time for sure. But there was time to explore, and it was very fun and calm environment. Like I said, I can't imagine Richard creating a set that wouldn't have that that experience.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to my chat with Yasmin Page. If you enjoyed that episode, remember to like, subscribe, and stay tuned for more exciting interviews and guests coming soon on Half the Picture.